The stories from World War II, firsthand stories, can be told by many veterans from the Brazos Valley. But few of them can give an eyewitness account of June 6, 1944, the Allied invasion of Normandy, the beginning of the end of World War II. Hi, I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley, brought to you by Meese & Associates. Lannis Hope O'Brien saw it all through his field glasses from a half mile offshore from Omaha Beach. He was a tank commander leading 25 soldiers in five tanks. The LCT that was scheduled to bring his group on shore on D-Day at 1 o'clock, well, it never showed that day, so they waited. He waited, and he watched.
There was a very detailed arrangement and schedule for the landing on D-Day, minute by minute. And our minutes were listed officially as D plus 13, which is late afternoon. Of course, we knew by dark that we wouldn't go ashore. So we spent the night again sleepless because we spent the previous night sleepless. And we waited all day the 7th without the scheduled boats getting it to us to take us ashore. And so finally, late in the afternoon, they commandeered an LCT to come to the LST, mm-hmm. to the bigger ship, and take my platoon, five tanks, off on that ship and take us to shore.
What he saw through his binoculars is etched in his memory, now more than 61 years later.
We could see explosions on the shore. We could hear dimly machine gun fire. We could look with field glasses to the right, and we could see Pont du Hoc, where General Rutter landed. We didn't know him then from Adam, and had never heard of him until after the war. But we knew that the guns that he took there could have raked the beach and made it very, very difficult to get ashore. It is bad enough as it was, because you've seen the classic pictures of the infantry walking across, and as they go, some of them fall and die on the spot. Those people we could see, you know, with our field glasses.
He would later meet and know General Rutter. We'll talk about that later in this series. But back to D1, June 7, 1944, when Lannis Hope's tank squadron came ashore. It was that day that he and his men witnessed the horror that is war.
Wreckage everywhere. We had a few artillery bursts among us. No casualties, but there was still some fire there. No machine guns. They'd already wiped out all the German machine gun nests and the stuff up on the hill there. As we went up the hill, which you've seen that famous trail going up the side of the draw, that's the place we went up right there. Just below that, the American dead that had been killed in that were laid out in rows. Of course, there were lots of dead Germans all over the place, but they didn't have them nicely laid out in rows. It was only later that graves registration took care of the German dead.
Before that day, his men had seen death only through training films. It's not the same.
We were required to see films of why we fight, and it showed the death houses. It showed the devastation of France and Czechoslovakia, and everyone was required to see those. But when they began to see real dead people, especially our own soldiers, they questioned, shall we go up on the hill there and look at that machine gun death that's been wiped out? Sure, going up there. There are 8 or 10 Germans had been wiped out.
On the next Bravo Brazos Valley, Lannis Hope O'Brien will describe the spectacle of 3,000 Air Force bombers flying over his head at 5,000 feet. Another member of the greatest generation and proud veteran of the Brazos Valley, Lannis Hope. I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley. He landed at Omaha Beach June the 7th, 1944, about 24 hours after the initial Allied invasion. On D-Day, he watched through his field glasses from a half mile offshore, his squadron of five tanks floating on an LCT, ready to move in on D+1. Over to his right as he watched the invasion was the coastal cliff Pont du Hoc. He saw a regiment of soldiers going up the point, and only years later would he learn that it was Rutter's Rangers going up that cliff. Hi, I'm Tom Turbeville. This is Bravo Brazos Valley, brought to you by Meese & Associates. Lannis Hope's career path took him to the reserves and later to A&M as a counselor, where he knew well General James Earl Rutter and his wife, Margaret. Here's Lannis Hope.
And I talked to her, and even after he died, I went to see her, and we visited. And one or two of his men came back to visit her after he died. They kept up with her. I met him in the Army Reserve. After I came back, I stayed in the Army Reserve, and he commanded the division that I was in. So I saw him every summer, off and on, for a couple of weeks, going to summer camp. Then got a job, moved from Baylor down to A&M, and there he was. He greeted me at the door, so to speak. He was glad to see me.
Back to Normandy, June the 7th, 1944, his five tanks landed on the beach and found that the German tanks were actually better.
On the beach, in the hedgerows, the resistance was infantry. Not very few tanks got there, mm-hmm. German tanks, although there were some. And, of course, they were formidable for us, an American tank. Our American tanks were not competitive tank for tank. Our forte was having more of them and moving faster.
As is often the case, what you're trained for is not the reality. In training, Lannis Hope had been taught that he'd use his tank as an armored spearhead. It did not turn out that way at all. They even had to invent a communication system on the run.
Immediately we found out that that was not the way we could fight in the hedgerows, that we had to be moving pillboxes, mm-hmm. not armored spearheads. And we had communication between the ground, the infantrymen on the ground, had to be such that we put a telephone on the back of the tank so that a sergeant or a lieutenant could run up behind the tank and pick up the telephone and say, there's some Germans down by that those trees down there. Wipe them out. So we'd spray the trees with machine guns and wipe them out. And they really, our infantry really liked that.
Lannis Hope, World War II veteran from the Brazos Valley. We will conclude his story on the next show. I'm Tom Turbeville. For Meese & Associates, this is Bravo Brazos Valley.
If you are in need of legal services, please consider calling Meese & Associates Attorneys at Law. Meese & Associates, an involved community partner. Meese & Associates, attorneys who care about helping you and helping our community. Call us at 846-9608. Licensed by the State Bar of Texas, not certified by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. Meese & Associates, Attorneys at Law, 846-9608.